Hello and welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. Before we dive into Perek Gimel, let's quickly recap where we left off. Yesterday, in Perek Bet, we witnessed Chana's prophetic song of thanks, the special Tfilas Chana that she sang and composed after giving birth to her son Shmuel. Her tefillah highlighted Hashem's hashgacha over personal and national events, how He is the one and only source of everything in this world, and that genuine tefillah can unlock the key to Hashem's bringing down brachos in this world, even when it seems to go against all natural odds. Chana's song also ended off on a prophetic note, where she foretold of the future anointing of kings, which her son, Shmuel, will have a big hand in. And we will, Be'ezrat Hashem, hopefully be zocha to learn these stories together in coming chapters. We also mentioned how rare a biblical song like Chana's is in the course of Tanakh, and emphasized how we are living through momentous times that may be part of the final song which is still being composed and which will be sung at the time of Mashiach's arrival. Be'ezrat Hashem, may that day come very soon. Meanwhile, we also watched as Shmuel began his service in the Mishkan under Eli's guidance, and we saw the contrast between Shmuel's rising spiritual stature and Eli's son's misdeeds, setting the stage for Hashem's first message to Shmuel in our Perek, Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel, Chapter 3, opens up by telling us how Shmuel walked in the path of Hashem, diligently learning from and serving Eli HaKohen. Pasuk Aleph, Udvar Hashem haya yakar b'yamim ha'heim. In Chazon Nifrat, the word of Hashem was scarce in those days. Vision was not widespread. Pasuk Bet, Vayhi b'yom ahu ve'eli shochev b'mkomo, ve'enav hechelu kehot lo yachol lirot. And it was on this particular evening that we're reading about that Eli HaKohen was lying in his place, and Eli's eyes had become dim. He could not see. The details about Eli's eyes dimming is an interesting one. Many Mefarshim take it literally and understand it as his eyes becoming weaker into his old age. And we will see in a moment Shmuel's devotion to his master Eli and his constant vigilance to be on call for him at all hours of day and night. But it's also interesting to point out that other Mefarshim, notably the Radak, understand this metaphysically as a spiritual dimming of his eye. The spiritual vision which Eli had is now going out, and the candle of Shmuel's own prophecy, his own nevuah, is beginning to ignite. Radak also adds that perhaps, maybe there's a connection here between Eli losing his eyesight as he aged and had sons who did not follow in his proper path, and our forefather Yitzchak Avinu, whose own eyes became dimmed later in his life when his son Esav doesn't follow in the proper ways. Something interesting to note. Pasuk Gimel, V'ner Elokim terem yichbeh, u'shmuel shochev b'heichal Hashem, asher sham aron Elokim. And the lamp of Hashem had not yet gone out. The Shemen HaMaor, the light of the menorah, was still flickering for the night. And Shmuel was lying in the heichal, in the temple of Hashem, where the aron, the ark, was. The pasuk here tells us that Shmuel was lying separately from his master Eli, and that he was lying in the heichal of Hashem, in the temple of Hashem, where the aron was. But how is that possible? No one was permitted to sleep inside of the Heichal of Hashem, ever. Most certainly, nowhere near the presence of the Holy Aron. The Malbim says something absolutely incredible here. He says that Shmuel wasn't sleeping in the Heichal physically, but that it was a Shchiva Machshavit. It was where his mind was. In a truly important premise in Avodas Hashem, we are where our mind is. We can't always physically be standing in Yerushalayim at the most holy of places, but our dreams, our thoughts, our entire entity can still be rooted and existing as if we were there physically. Even while we're busy folding laundry or cleaning dishes, our minds can be thinking about the stories from Nach Yomi we learned that day. And in that way, it's as if we are transported from the here and now into the very temple of Hashem. We truly are where our mind is. Now back to our story. Sukkim Dalet through Yod, 4 to 10, are going to share with us the following encounter. Shmuel, who was asleep in his room at the time, hears what appears to him to be the voice of his master Eli calling out to him. It was actually Hashem calling him, which he didn't yet know. As we read in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Nevuah was scarce in those days. He had never yet encountered this experience. Also, hearing Eli summon him wasn't a rarity. Shmuel was his devoted servant both day and night, especially as Eli grew older in years and his eyesight dimmed. So Pasuk Hey, Shmuel jumps up and runs quickly to see Eli to see what he needs and says, Hineni, I am here for you have called me. And Eli tells him, I didn't call you. You can go back to your room to rest. And so he walks back to his room and to go back to sleep. Something interesting to note here is Shmuel's alacrity for mitzvos. When he hears his master Eli calling him, he runs, vayaratz. But when he's told he isn't needed and he wasn't called, then he walks regularly back to where he came in from. Pasuk Vav, the same exact scene unfolds a second time. Shmuel again hears Eli calling him, so he quickly runs up and goes to his master Eli, and he tells him again, Hineni, I am here, for you have called me. And Eli tells him, I didn't call you, my son. Bini, go back and lie down to rest. It's interesting to note that Eli now uses the word Bini, my son, here, in the second midnight encounter that he has with Shmuel. The Abarbanel notes that he purposely called him Bini, my son, with affection, so as not to embarrass him for waking him up now twice in the middle of the night. The Malbim also interestingly adds that Eli purposely used the word Bini out of ahava, out of love, so that Shmuel wouldn't walk away embarrassed or sad. But he adds one more detail as to why. He says that here, Eli is already starting to begin to suspect that perhaps this might be a nevuah from Hashem, this might be prophecy. And he knew that if Shmuel would be even a little bit sad about disturbing Eli, even just a little bit embarrassed and sad in his heart, it might render him unworthy as a vessel to receive that nevuah, to receive the prophecy. And Eli did not want to hinder that possibility at all. Even in the middle of the night, at his advanced age, Eli had the wherewithal to not be frustrated by the moment. Rather, he was able to think about Shmuel and his feelings. This is a truly lofty level for us to strive for, and an important reminder to us as well that happiness is what fosters our ability to truly connect deeply and spiritually to Hashem. Again, back to our story. Pasuk Chet. And Hashem calls to Shmuel again a third time, and Shmuel again runs to his master Eli, thinking it's him who is calling him. But this time, Eli already understood fully that this was most certainly Hashem calling out to Shmuel. And so, in Pasuk Tet, Eli tells Shmuel, go back to rest, and if you again hear a voice which you think is me calling, stay where you are and say, Daber Hashem ki shomea avdecha. Speak Hashem, for your servant is listening. And so Pasuk Yud, Hashem comes and appears to Shmuel, and he says, Shmuel, Shmuel. He uses this double language, connoting his deep love for Shmuel, as we've seen in other places in the Torah as well. And Shmuel answers, Daber ki shomea avdecha, speak, for your servant is listening. If you notice the wording, Shmuel doesn't answer back quite as Eli had told him to. He leaves out the word Hashem. He says just, Daber ki shomea avdecha. And why? He does it purposely. He does so out of humility. He thinks to himself, perhaps it's not really Hashem. Who's to say I'm worthy of that? Let me not say Hashem's name just in case. I'll just say, Daber ki shomea avdecha. Shows the greatness again also of Shmuel. The people that we're speaking about, the characters in Tanakh, are far greater than we can ever even comprehend. A quick question, though, to point out here, is why Hashem chose to speak to Shmuel in such a way that he thought it was Eli calling him, and three times no less. There are two interesting answers to this question, probably many more, but two for today. The first is that since it was the first time that Hashem appeared to Shmuel, he didn't want to scare him. Hearing a voice that was similar to Eli's would help Shmuel get used to hearing Hashem speaking to him. This is similar to when Hashem first appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu by the burning bush, by the Sneh. His voice sounded like that of Amram, of Moshe's father. That's why Moshe wasn't afraid. So Hashem purposely comes to him, speaking in the voice of Eli to ease Shmuel into the process of getting Nevuah. The second answer, which is important for us to know for our story today, is that Hashem wanted Eli to know that Shmuel was getting Nevuah, so that the next day Eli would ask him, "Nu Shmuel, what was your Nevuah? What did Hashem tell you?" Without Eli asking, Shmuel wouldn't have discussed Hashem's message, for it unfortunately contained bad news for Eli and his family, as we will now see. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11 tells us that the prophecy comes. Shmuel gets his nevuah. And Hashem tells Shmuel terrible news that whoever hears, his ears are going to ring. This is referring to the impending destruction of Mishkan Shiloh by the hands of the Plishtim and a few other events which we will unfortunately encounter in tomorrow's perek. Hashem continues to then retell the punishments that will befall Eli and his household for having failed to restrain his son's misdeeds. The repetition here in Shmuel's prophecy and his nevuah, after Eli was just told of this all from the Ish Elokim, if you remember from yesterday's perek that Chazal teach was Elkanah himself, it shows that the events of this nevuah are now going to be final and that they're going to take place very soon. In the morning, Shmuel attempts to do his avodah, his daily service, quietly, minding his own business as usual, hoping to avoid having to relay the message he received. But Eli insists, telling him, "Whatever you withhold from telling me, may it happen to you." So, in Pasuk Yilchet, Shmuel tells Eli everything, withholding nothing from him. Vayomer, and Eli responds, "Hashem hu atov be'enav ya'aseh." Eli responds, "He is Hashem. He will do what is good in his eyes." In a powerful moment here, Eli accepts this extremely, extremely challenging news with steadfast emunah. It's really hard to imagine such a level. The final three psukim for today mark the beginning of Shmuel's renown as a true prophet of Hashem, a true Navi, whose words would always carry weight and truth. And the Navi tells us that once Shmuel got his nevuah here, the pipeline now opened up for prophecy to become common once again among all of Israel. One final note for us to know today before we conclude our study of Perek Gimel. Chazal teach us that Eli, despite Eli's family being cursed with an incredibly difficult curse, Eli's future descendants will only be affected by the curse if they followed in their forefathers' misguided footsteps. If they were tzaddikim, however, the curse would not apply to them, especially if they held on to strict adherence to learning Torah and doing acts of gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us in Yud Chet Amud Aleph 18a, that the famous sages, Rava and Abaya, themselves descended from Eli's family. And the Gemara tells us that Rava, who excelled and spent his time exclusively learning Torah, he lived until the age of 40, and that Abaye, who excelled in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, he lived until the ripe age of 60. Even in the darkness of the impending curse and the tragic stories we're going to encounter in tomorrow's perek, there will still be light in the future for Eli's family, for those who cling to Torah and to kindness. Bezrat Hashem, I look forward to continuing to learn and grow together through our study of Sefer Shmuel tomorrow. Wishing everyone a beautiful rest of your day. Today's perek is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.